Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Joel Hargis, an instrument-rated private pilot who flies regularly around Florida and the Southeast for business in his Mooney. Joel is EAA Chapter 534 President and Young Eagle Coordinator promoting aviation.
Hello, I'm Joel Hargis with the Florida Aviation Network. We are here at Sun and Fun 2022, the 48th annual air show at Lakeland. Sun and Fun is absolutely that today, I will tell you folks. It is a beautiful, I mean, beautiful day out there. And as always, we're always sharing more information on aviation in Florida and even abroad. But today we're going to talk a little more specifically about Florida and historical Florida aviation. Today with me, I have Terry Greiner. Now, Terry, actually, we've got a couple things we want to talk about, but one is the Florida Historical, or Hall of Fame.
Florida Aviation Hall of Fame.
Florida Aviation Hall of Fame. And what is your role there?
I am the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame chairman presently. And we celebrated the Hall of Fame last Wednesday evening here at Sun and Fun.
Right. And you inducted, what,
four recipients.
Over a couple of years' worth.
Exactly. In 2020, they're the 2020 inductees. Unfortunately, we didn't have Sun and Fun in 2020, and so we had to put them on hold. And then in 2021, we had the Hall of Fame was being renovated with the new Aerospace Museum, so we had to postpone again. So we were able to present them on Wednesday evening. And we have four new people into the Hall of Fame as of Wednesday.
Now, would you like to read the four that we just
inducted? Sure, I can do that. Colonel Joseph Kingago, Gladys Penny Thompson, Jesse Woods, and Laurie Young.
So two men and two women.
Actually, Jesse was an aerobatic performer woman, and she's also was a past 99. Yes, I know when I was doing the portraits, the gentleman that we were working on mixed up the names on the different portraits because of the names. Laurie Young is a gentleman.
So Laurie's the girl and Jesse's...
They're both there.
Ladies.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yep. And it kind of looks confusing, or it is. But, and so then Penny and Joe are who
it's
they
really
are.
Nice to see some ladies represented here. You know, I'm always rooting for more female pilots because it's such a small percentage. And to see them get recognized is just exemplifies the reason we need more female pilots, you know?
And I think that we do have a lot of individuals out there that need to be recognized in the women's category, and we're honoring two of them here, but hopefully in the future we'll honor more. The 99s have been gracious in providing us historic information, and that's it. We have to find out about these people, and so we continually ask people to submit nominations for the people that need to be recognized and honored who have made significant aerospace contributions or achievements in aviation.
So obviously there's a process for this to get nominated, and that starts way back in, it will start in October?
Correct. Anyone can submit nominations right now. We ask, and those nominations are online with the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame. You can go there to their website and pull the information there. We have all the information housed in the Hall of Fame exhibit in the Florida Air Museum. So if you visit the museum anytime during the year, the forms are available there. And you fill them out, and there is a criteria that you have to have and meet. And then after that, that information goes to the selection committee, and the selection committee votes in November and decides from the list for the year who those two inductees will be.
So let's back up just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, what would be some of the basic criteria to qualify for the Hall of Fame?
Well, we look at individuals who have served either in civil or military aerospace significance or achievement. While there's no birth or residency in Florida required, the selection committee considers, you know, some the Florida residents, gives them kind of a special weight. But it's basically, you know, the nominating individual presents a bio and information about the individual as far as they feel what that need or significance is, and then the board decides based on all that information. It's a lengthy process. I send out, you know, a packet on everybody that is submitted to each of our selection committee members, and they review them and then decide, make that distinction. So it's
so and to give people some kind of idea of the criteria, like the first one as I go down the list, because I see that it started, we started inducting people in like 03.
Exactly. That was the inaugural event. The Florida Aviation Hall of Fame was originally proposed by the Jacksonville chapter in the late 1900s. And then
The Jacksonville chapter of?
The Florida Aviation's Historic Society.
So there's a Florida Aviation Historic Society, and they are the background or the backbone of the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
So that's a statewide thing, but started in Jacksonville.
It started in Jacksonville in the late 1900s, and after a lengthy search for the site and the organization, an agreement was formed between the Florida Aviation Society and the Florida Air Museum under the leadership of former NASA astronaut Greg Hallbaugh. So he was here, and they decided that the Florida Air Museum would be become the official site of the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame. And so the inaugural induction took place on December 17, 2003, and that's the 100th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first powered flight. So that's kind of the history of where it began.
Significant date.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we go on from there, and that's the list.
So, and as I look down through here, I mean, in 03, a friend of mine is on there, and that would be Colonel Joe Kittinger.
Mm-hmm.
Kittinger is actually how that is pronounced. And Joe was set the free fall record in the 50s, jumping out of a balloon, right?
Right.
People think that, oh, he went to set a free fall record. No, he was actually testing the spacesuit for the astronauts. That was his predecessor. And I think Joe's a miracle guy. He owns, to this day, I think, four or five world records. And I mean, I go down through here. This one I wanted to bring out. Where was it? Oh, there. Anthony Janis.
Tony Janis, yes.
Tony Janis. Now, he was a pilot of the first airline.
First passenger flight from Tampa, St. Petersburg to Tampa and Tampa to St. Peter Air Route, yes.
So it was out of Albert Whitted in St. Petersburg. And I'm a bit of a history nut. I love history.
That's good.
And I don't know my aviation history as well as I wish I did, but he, you know, that was the first commercial airline flight.
It was.
And it was a flight.
First passenger flight.
Passenger flight, right. And it was from Albert Whitted to Tampa. Where did it go in Tampa?
There was a water basin over there that it landed on. And then they
was
flew
that
up back.
Was Davis Island? Or?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, probably
close
was.
To Davis Island, yes.
Right, which is
there's a designated spot. I'm not
kind
exactly.
Kind of a hop, skip, and a jump. But, but that is significant.
It is.
Right. Tony
it
Janis.
Is. Mm-hmm. And he actually took, the passenger that he took was the mayor at the time. And the mayor paid a considerable amount of money to be there, what we would consider not a lot of dollars now, but then it was. And he had reason to do that, and I'll maybe share that later. But that passenger was the mayor of the city.
Commercial passenger flight, very first one. So right here in Florida, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing. Then down the list, you got Ed Rickenbacker. He was the first CEO of Eastern Airlines, which obviously was one of the largest airlines for a long time. The other one I saw down here is Kermit Weeks, obviously the founder of Fantasy of Flight.
Exactly.
He's a great choice. You know, one of the ones that Florida Aviation Hall of Fame, and I don't know how much time he spent in Florida, Howard Hughes.
Oh, yes.
And all of these guys are on plaques on the wall in the museum here at Sun and Fun, right here.
Correct, right
on
here.
The Sun and Fun grounds. So if you've never been to the museum over here, they've got a nice museum over there. They just recently renovated it, mm-hmm. didn't they not?
Yes, that's right.
And so there's these guys' pictures, and our names at least, are all on a plaque. It's been a while since I've been there.
Actually, there are portraits of each of the inductees, and under the portrait is a plaque that kind of lets everyone know about the significance of some of their journey. And then we usually provide bios. We're putting together the exhibit in a little different format because of technology. We're actually going to put it on a screen so that people can read those bios and pull the actual person up and, you know, read that history and continue to learn more about some of these folks and what they've done. And, of course, you know, it's a small amount of information considering what a lot of these people have done over their lifetime. And, you listen to, as I listened Wednesday night to the families that are coming up and honoring their the folks that we honored or past recipients, and it's just amazing the amount of things that people have done for aviation to promote it, to provide the history and the knowledge and the experience that, you know, we all benefit daily from. It's incredible. Joe Kingago, Colonel Kingago, he was at the meeting on Wednesday, and it's just amazing his accomplishments throughout his lifetime, and he's still here to do more. He's a docent at the Jacksonville Museum now, and that's how he, you know, continues on in aviation.
Well, I know some of these guys, like take Joe Kittinger for example. He wrote a book called Come Up and Get Me, which is, he was actually a F-4 pilot in Vietnam and got captured and put in the Hanoi Hilton, and he's, if you ever want to read a really, really good aviation book, Come Up and Get Me is a great one. I see in 2019 a person that very, one of the friends of the Florida Aviation Network, Lee Lauterbach.
Yes.
Was inducted to the Hall of Fame, and good choice, right?
Wonderful choice.
Lee's kind of a legend around here.
He is.
So that's more modern day, but I just bring all that up to share with people, if you've got somebody in mind, somebody that really stands out, that needs to be recognized, you know, the Hall of Fame is for eternity. And so what was your background, Terry, to take such a role and get involved so intimately with the Hall of Fame?
Initially, I'm housed at the Albert Whitted Airport, Albert Whitted Airport, and we formed the Albert Whitted Airport Preservation Society over 20 years ago to save our airport, to keep it an airport. We had developers wanting to come in and turn it into townhouses and condominiums. Couldn't let that happen. So it was Phil Boyer and Bill Dunn that knocked on my door and said, you have people and we have dollars and we're going to help you keep this airport an airport forever. And so we put a referendum on the ballot. AOPA came in and they supported us and all the individuals, not only that were at our airport in clubs and groups and our organization that we formed, and we saved our airport. We put a referendum on the ballot. The voters voted to keep this airport for eternity. So that's what we are doing, and now we are continuing to enhance it and grow. And my partnership with Sun and Fun has been to is the education part of what we do in the museum. So it's ongoing, the history and the education, and became a member of the Florida Aviation Hall of Florida Aviation Society, and they asked me to chair the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame, and that's, you know, I've been coming to Sun and Fun for many, many years as a volunteer, and became chairman through the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame, and have been doing that probably for the last 8 years now, contributing time to this historic.
What an honor!
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to meet incredibly historians that I have met over past and hear their stories and just
rubbing elbows with the best of the best. And
awesome,
we recognize
awesome.
In the state.
And like I said, we can't write all that down, and we can't, you know, share all that. So people, we want to continue to do that, and this is a way to do this through the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame, or a small way to do it, I should say.
Very cool job.
It really is.
Very cool job. So, I know I asked you earlier if you were a pilot.
I'm a student pilot. I wanted to I actually wanted to finish my flight training and had some issues that I could not do that. And then I got so involved in organizing different organizations and groups. I have no time, but I've retired recently, so that's my goal in a few years is to get back in there and get that pilot certificate.
You're an educator yourself.
I am. 32 years as a teacher in Pinellas County Schools. And
Did you teach history?
I did not teach history. No, a little bit, of course. Every kindergarten teacher teaches a little bit
of history. Elementary
school teacher. Yeah, we share that all the time. But what we're trying to do at the Albert Whitted Airport is to build an education center, and that's why we partnered with Sun and Fun. And in the past few years, we have brought our summer camp children over to the museum here. We fly over. Part of the camp is getting them at a comfort level in an aircraft and planning our flight here. And we've had the museum director meet us, and then we got to tour the museum. So, and it's just incredible.
You just hit one of my passion buttons, and that is teaching youth aviation.
I do a
series remotely for that for the network. And so education center, what is your target ages for that?
Well, there's no time limit on becoming a pilot ever or anything involved in aviation.
So it's not just for kids.
Not just for kids. It's for everybody that wants to be involved. And we have such history in St. Petersburg with the first passenger flight. National Airlines was founded at Albert Whitted Airport, so we have that history. And we decided that we wanted to contribute to the city a building in the honor of all the things that we have that are historic in St. Petersburg. So a group of individuals are working very hard to put together a historic building that we can house all this information, but provide it for the community in every aspect that we possibly can.
So will that be more of a museum, or will
combo,
it?
Combo, just like they have going on here. You're going to see history. You're going to see have education. We've got an aircraft that's going to be housed there. It'll be all hands-on activities for young and old, because, you know, we have never
I think there's a bunch of value in kids and adults working together, mm-hmm. or even learning together. I mean like I say when I travel to different EAA groups or people with youth groups, it's adults mentoring young people, and whenever us older folks get around young people, it makes us young.
The chapter at Albert Whitted was chapter 47.
Wow.
So
that's a low number.
And that was formed by Ed Hoffman here, Ed Hoffman Sr., who is a member of the Florida Aviation Hall of Fame. He formed 47. So that takes you back. So it's EAA. It's everything at Whitted, and we want that to continue. And one way to do that is to provide a space to have that happen in. And because of our pilots, because it is a small airport, those pilots have a wealth of information that they can share with these students, and they do all the time.
And you know what? The space, you hit it right on the head. Mm-hmm. I know in our local one, I'm out of Leesburg, 534, and mm-hmm. our challenge with doing that was a hangar. We needed space.
Mm-hmm.
And you really need to be on an airport or near an airport, and we finally convinced the city to help us out with that. But that's crucial.
And it takes a lot of time to convince some people that you need that. And that's what we've been working on for years. And the city has been supportive. But we also had some individuals that feel they're very strong about making this happen. So there are dollars coming in from private. And our goal is, this is going to be a contribution from individuals to the city of St. Petersburg. So there are no aviation dollars spent from,
No tax dollars.
This
no
is
FAA.
A gift. This is going to be our gift to the city,
wow.
because of all the significant history
and
of aviation that it has.
Finding some of the local businesses, particularly I would think anything affiliated with the airport, are contributing?
And most people are very open to having that contribution
happen. So private donations?
Private donations, any way we can get it. But there are, we just want this to be a gift, because so many people feel that we have such history in St. Petersburg and want to continue that to have, our younger generation move forward with that and understand it. And so that's why we think that partnerships not only with the folks here in Lakeland, but all airports. When we have summer camp, we travel to grass strips. We travel to our Coast Guard base, and we try to allow these children to experience aviation in every fashion, because they may not want to be a pilot. Maybe they want to be a controller or whatever in aviation, but in order for them to know, they have to experience it. And so that's what we want to give them.
Well, I applaud you. Like I say, teaching youth aviation is not, I mean, one of my passions. It's one of the network's passions. We're all about it. I mean, we sit here in an aviation high school, and that's our future in aviation. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. So mm-hmm. I applaud you. And I also want to, I'm glad you brought up saving your airport, because mm-hmm. I know they tried to steal one of our runways up mm-hmm. there, and I think that's a challenge, well, nationwide for that matter.
Everywhere, yes.
You know, that particularly municipally owned, sometimes money over supersedes history, and certainly people don't realize how important the airport is until something really bad happens to the city, and then that's their lifeline.
And with Whitted, it's right on the waterfront. It provides you fly in and you can walk to anything, a theater, right. A restaurant. I mean, everything is at your. I mean, it's just a wonderful facility. And to have somebody think that is not something that should be in existence, no, that's just not. So we'll continue to work hard and keep that in airport and help others along the way.
Well, good for you. Well, we're out of time, Wade. And you know, boy, didn't
Thank
that go
you.
Fast?
It
huh?
went very fast. Thank you for having me.
And so. Thanks for coming. I am Joel Hargis with the Florida Aviation Network. We're live and in the clear on a beautiful day at Sun and Fun 2022 here in Lakeland, Florida.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.